Well, have the Tea Party people outfoxed themselves with their absolutist stand against earmarks? You're getting some people who are arguing in print that that is precisely what is happening. Dr. Scott Frisch, professor and chair of political science, California State University, Channel Islands, co-author Cheese Factories on the Moon, Why Earmarks Are Good for American Democracy. And professor, briefly summarize your argument, because it may seem counterintuitive at the beginning to some people.
Well, the argument is that the founders, the framers who put together the Constitution, set up a system where Congress would be empowered to make the decisions of the power of the purse. And that's the way it worked for much of American history, where Congress was dominant. There really wasn't a presidential budget even until 1921. And the idea was that Congress would make these decisions, and they would be elected every 2 years, the House of Representatives. And if the people didn't like those decisions, then they could vote Congress out. But now what has happened is we've turned over the decision from the elected Congress and the representatives of the people to the executive branch and the president. And really, it's not the president who makes these thousands of decisions about where things are spent. It's the bureaucracy and unelected people. And so it's a really undemocratic system that we've ended up with.
So really two paradoxes. One is back to the Constitution. Well, you have separation of powers, and Congress is supposed to have power over the purse. And then the idea that of all people, the people who get some of the decision making in the absence of Congress, unelected bureaucrats in the executive branch. I mean, how appealing can that be for a Tea Party person?
Well, I would think that if they thought this through, they would realize that the more power that rests in Congress, the better from the perspective of democratic government. They certainly don't like what Obama's been doing. They spent most of their time criticizing Obama and lambasting his bureaucracy, and now it's up to Obama to decide which military bases in the United States get funding, which flood control, which transportation projects, highways, bridges, roads, all that. If there are no earmarks, then it's up mainly to the executive branch of government.
Of course, you do have the base commission. So at least on the military, there is some other structure.
Mm-hmm. But again, the base commission is not a very democratic process, because Congress has delegated the decision about what to close and what not to close to a group of people who then report back, and then it's just an up or down vote where there's no effort to amend. So,
although some would say Congress would be hopelessly deadlocked otherwise.
Yeah, and that was a practical solution, probably not a democratic solution, but a practical solution to a long-held problem.
Sure. Now, Michelle Bachmann this week, interview with the Star Tribune, and I double-checked, and she has not backpedaled on this, has suggested that maybe there ought to be a redefinition of earmarks so that transportation projects in one's own district are not necessarily construed with that wide paintbrush. What do you make of that?
I cannot understand the logic or the reason behind that. What makes a transportation project different than any other thing that is earmarked? If you think about, if most Americans, you ask them what's an example of an earmark, they're going to tell you the Bridge to Nowhere. That's a transportation project. That's the most famous earmark. And if we continue to earmark only there, then I mean, it just doesn't make any sense logically in terms of the rationale. It maybe politically makes sense for her in terms of Minnesota with the problems with their crumbling infrastructure and the bridge catastrophe they had several years back.
So do you think it's going to be the high water mark for the absolutist anti-earmark movement that Michelle Bachmann has sought a Clinton-esque, let's define the term earmark?
Well, historically, I mean, politicians have wanted it both ways. They want to be on the side of the people and cutting spending, but they also want to have things for their district. And when you have an absolutist position like no earmarks, I don't see how you can then backpedal. You've really painted yourself into a corner. No earmarks, but earmarks that I like. I mean, what is that?
Although, now, just to play devil's advocate with you, I mean, for example, here in Delaware, we've got Dover Air Force Base, we've got our major highways, and then Wilmington Music School a few years ago ended up getting a few $100,000 in an earmark. Now, whatever the virtues of Wilmington Music School, it's a very fine institution, but one might argue that that is in a different realm of earmarks than rebuilding the highway or taking care of a bridge.
Well, where do you draw the line? And I think what happened in the last few years in Congress were a number of reforms that we point out in the book, which really didn't get much publicity, but really made the process a lot better in terms of scrutinizing what is being the money's being spent on, and making it open. So now you, as a taxpayer, citizen, can go to a number of websites and find out which member of Congress asked for this thing. And if you think that's a bad use of public funds, then you just don't vote for that person. You don't elect them, rather than making these arbitrary decisions based on your own preference for roads versus museums or whatever the alternative.
Now, do you think somebody like Mitch McConnell, who caved in on earmarks with the Tea Party movement, Mitch McConnell knows better?
Oh, if you read his statement, he says he knows better. He spent his career, and I would say rightly so, fighting for money for a very poor state that he represents. If you look for a lot of the things that earmarks have been spent on are for projects that really help people in states and districts that have a need for things. It's not the things that yeah. you mentioned in terms of what the bad earmark in Delaware or the Teapot Museum, which always gets a lot of publicity. But most of the things that Mitch McConnell has fought for, I think he's really proud of. He puts out newsletters, he puts out press releases, he talks to death about them. And to now say he doesn't want them, well, I think if you read what between the lines, even read what he said in his statement, he's bowing to the will of the symbolism.
Yeah, I have to go in a few seconds, but Professor, based on what you're saying, I think you would go with the mantra, this too will pass.
At some point, I've got to see Congress inserting itself into the spending process. It's just constitutional. It's the way that the system was designed to work. And if they call it an earmark or whatever, you'll notice it's a moratorium. It's a 2-year ban, so they can study it and reform it.
Yeah, it isn't in perpetuity. Got to go. And your book, Cheese Factories on the Moon, Why Earmarks Are Good for American Democracy.